CosmicRadio.tv. This podcast would be nothing without our patrons, so special thanks goes out to them. Want to join their ranks and support independent content? Head to our Patreon at patreon.com/8bitlife. Welcome to the fine edition of my so-called 8-Bit Life. I'm your host, Roberto Vase. Joining me today, remotely from her awesome scarlet room of craziness, Jackie Hearn.
Hi!
I don't know why I said scarlet room of craziness.
I know, sounds a little risque.
Well, it's the red. I mean, like, because you can't say like the red room of doom or something like that. Like, well, you gotta fancy it up. And scarlet always had like both are roughly the same color, red and scarlet.
Mm-hmm.
Or you know, you could say the ruby red of the ruby room of something.
There's different shades of it too.
Like, for sure.
Burgundy, and then there's black behind. Well, if you remember the last time you mentioned it, it was black.
Yeah.
And I had witches flying around. and the black didn't work because my hair is dark and then I usually wear black. So all I was like a face, like hidden behind a pop filter. So, I'm just trying to be colorful and like bright and happy. You know, can't we just be happy?
I'm just saying, you know, like there are, you know, because we talk about colors and it's always, I mean, yes, because there's many shades of stuff. There's not just purple. There's fuchsia
and
magenta. But, you know, ultimately people, when you say a certain thing, they think of a certain type of thing. Like we say scarlet, they think of a deep red, you know, mm-hmm. I tend to like saying like, you know, when I'm trying to gussy up a color, even though that color may not be that color, you'll say things like scarlet or ruby or well, you know, you would say it's like saying green versus jade. You know, there's
I have enough material around here on my desk. I can make a scarlet letter and go ahead and just wear that.
I don't know if you want that one. Didn't work out for
it didn't work out for me
for Miss Prim in any kind of capacity.
No,
it did
never
not work out,
out
for.
Was never
it, is it
out.
Esther? Esther Prim? Yeah, I think it's Esther Prim. I have to dump now. I mean, I could let's see. Now comes the check.
Oh God! You gotta look it up.
Because I gotta look. If I don't get to I lose my English. Hester Prim. You know, it's funny. I was thinking Hester as opposed to Esther, but I was like, Hester makes no sense. No, it's Hester Prim. I did know it was Hawthorne that, however, wrote the Scarlet Letter, which is a pretty good book actually. So how you been, Jackie?
I've been all right. I've been good. Keeping busy. You know.
This is one of those like weird laid back episodes for me because, you know, it's funny whenever I go and book guests and kind of get people together and everything else. I usually go in my head, okay, who have I had on the show in a while that I love having on the show? And it's funny because like I
and then
had,
you ran out of all of them and you're like, well, gosh, I probably, you know, I'm doing this show right now with Jackie on another network.
No. It was honestly, it was,
I forgot.
I think I had Petey on last week and I was thinking about like, who should I get next? I was like, let me ask Jackie when I see her on Thursday. Cause we, for those who have no idea what I'm talking about, Jackie and I, do record a separate podcast on probably one of the most like, and because this is my podcast, I can be fucking honest. I don't have to, you know, when I'm on the House of Cards show, I have to be like, you know, yay, House of Cards, woo. This show, I can be honest.
So now we find out the real truth. You hate the
no,
show.
No, I just like it's one of those shows where I'm like it's fucking.
You can say
to watch
that
it.
On. You can say
no,
that.
No, I have to be. I have to tote the line. I'm kidding. It's not a bad show. It's just one of those shows that's like because I realize now. What it is that there is something about watching television-based content that doesn't seem to catch my attention anymore. That's not to say TV doesn't catch my attention.
Well, I tell you what, I'll never do another fan cast ever again. I am fan casted out.
Well, because you just got done with, and I've yet to watch the season, but you guys just got done. They finished it, and apparently the internet went like apeshit bananas with The Walking Dead.
I don't care. I really don't. I guess you're talking about The Walking Dead. Yeah. Yes. I haven't finished it. I guess we do the last one on Saturday. I thought I was done last year. Last year, I told the guys that we were doing the show with, you know what, guys, unless one of you really wants to do it, we're not doing it again. And because I ended up having to coordinate everything, edit everything, for sure, post everything, you know, and it was just I've never even enjoyed the show. What I enjoyed was making fun of the show.
Right.
And yeah. And so now I guess with the season finale, which I won't spoil it, but what I will say is that what everyone knows is that all of the fans were really irritated about the way they ended it. And I just, who cares? Who cares?
I mean, it goes like this, and I've started, like, for me, doing a fan cast is interesting. I think what happens with shows, and I think ultimately what can happen, especially with like a Walking Dead and such, especially like with the way media is done now, you know, we have the ability to not watch things when they're happening if we choose to. Like I don't have cable, so I tend to watch things already time delayed anyways. And because of that, like I don't ever feel the need to that. We're also in a culture now where the idea of just of you know, we have a concept now of binging on a television show, you know, mm-hmm. where it's just where you literally could just watch a full season of something and whatever. And the ability, of course, that now to, you know, even with Netflix or Amazon Video or whatever, just to put something on, like, it's always funny to look at Netflix and to see that the top content on like that scrolly bar where it's like recommendations or it's like that, like online, it's always DS9, always The Next Generation. There's always those older shows that are there, not because anyone's watching them for the first time, but because someone just needs something on in the background. It's like, you know what? Let me put on The Inner Light. Boom. And then go about their day as like Picard is saying whatever. Or it's like, you know what? I really love this episode with Sisko, you know, when he goes back to the 50s as the writer. Let me put that one on really quick. And, you know, or, you know, and it's not – we have that culture now where we can watch these things. Well, it wasn't the case. It'd always be like, well, what's on television? Oh, yeah. You know,
you plan your night out. Or, yeah. You know,
it's the CSI marathon. Okay. Well, I could watch a full, you know, a couple episodes of CSI. Oh, yay. It's that episode. Awesome. I love this one. But now we're in a culture where it's just like, okay, well, that's not on. Cool. Let me see what's on Netflix. Yeah. I'll just watch this episode again. You know?
Yeah. The only show I'm like that with these days is Breaking Bad. I can still watch Breaking Bad a billion times, and I can even edit a video and audio while watching Breaking Bad which to me is amazing because I'm so good at watching the show now. I think I've seen it like 16 times.
Well, it's because ultimately what happens is you start to and this usually happens with movies, like they just recently added to Amazon Video a lot of Coen Brothers films, and I think one of them is like The Big Lebowski, so I was kind of watching that a couple days ago, and I had forgotten how funny that movie was. Even though, like, I know all the motions of that movie, you know, they see what happens, Larry, and, you know, they peed on your fucking rug, dude. Like, I know all the motions of that film, but I forgot how fucking funny that film is. I forgot how well shot that film was, too. There are some sequences in that I still am like, holy shit, I can't believe you pulled that off.
Yeah, I actually went to a Lebowski fest a couple of years ago, and it was not what I expected, but it could have just been the one that I went to. And I found that people, you know, people would cosplay as one of the characters. And I found that the people who played, oh gosh, now I can't think of their names. I think it was it Walt?
Yeah.
It was played by John Goodman.
Yeah, Walter.
People who were playing him were really uptight, competitive jerks. And the people who played the dude were like the laid back, hey, you want to go smoke a joint, you know, kind of people.
Does anyone give a fuck about
mix.
The rules?
Yeah, it was a weird mix.
Smokey, this isn't Nam. There are rules here. No, but that's Walter. They might have been just playing the character. I forgot how amazing Walter is as a character. Because again, there's just some scenes in there, like the The fuck, one of my favorites, again, one of the best sequences of the film, the fucking, you see what happens there when you fuck a stranger in the ass, and he just fucking beating the shit out of this,
Larry.
this fucking sports car. I don't know if it was a Lamborghini or something else, but just beating the fuck out of it. And the guy, it's like, what are you doing to my car? He thought he's about to, he just starts beating the shit out of the dude's car as Donnie's in the back seat.
I didn't cosplay, and the people I went with wanted me to, and they were disappointed. At the last minute, I thought about going as the car with a little bat hanging off the side to bash my car.
That would be funny. That would be a good one.
Yeah, well, it didn't
happen. But there's some interesting, like, weird things that I didn't remember. Like, I'd forgotten that the Nihilists were at one point part of, like, a German, like, you know, electronica band called Autobahn. Autobahn, and I forgot about that there was like this like very German just Autobahn, and it was just like they looked literally like some Devo rejects. It was just amazing. I'd honestly forgot about like that entire like subplot and that point. And it's those things that I forgot about, or just the fact that Bunny was part of a was like, her parents told her, you know, just show her picture of the farm. It's like, how should she go back to the farm after meeting Carl Hungus? So just like these like weird things that I had fucking forgot about those lines that when they came up, I just started laughing my ass off again. And it made me realize just how solid of a film that was. So, but that's the era we live in. We're in the era where we can say, yeah, you know, I don't watch The Big Lebowski. I don't have it on Blu-ray. Let's pop it on Netflix or Amazon Video or whatever. Cool. You know, because of that, I don't think I have the desire to watch a lot of content right away. I kind of let it build up. Like, there's certain shows I keep up with on a weekly basis. And I say weekly in quotation marks because it's out on Amazon finally, you know, and I buy it and everything else. But then a lot of those shows are just – a lot of times I enjoy them, but I don't – I know I could have just waited for it. Like, I think the last thing I had bought the full season of – like before it came out, and as it was coming out, was last season of MythBusters, just because, you know, that was it's the last season when you know, if I'm not going to support the last one, what am I going to support? But that's because of that, like, I've never, like, I understand the need for a fan cast, and I get it, you know, people watch the show, keeping up with it and everything else, but it's just such a weird thing for me now. Just, I'm like, I want, like, I'll see The Walking Dead, like, oh, watching Walking Dead, cool. Well, I'll buy that eventually. You know?
Oh, yeah, I might actually even enjoy it if I didn't feel like it was a huge amount of homework for me.
But maybe that's the case. Maybe that's the difference between, like, watching a show and watching a show.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you're just watching a show kind of casually, you know, and this is sort of what happens with House of Cards with me, is that it's the kind of show that does demand your attention, and that's not a bad thing. It's just because it's a show that not only demands my attention, but also demands my real attention of, like, judging it and figuring out opinions and stuff like that. And I can do that with a movie, and I can do that with a television show. But a lot of times it's like, you know, I almost – there are parts of me that just wants to, like, sometimes just – let's just skip to the end, you know. Let's see what the last episode looks like, and just – and it's like, well, that seems cool. Let's see how it builds up to that, because I don't really care if I see something out of order. It's just, you know, unless – you know, because it's rare – it's very rare that there's any, especially in television, even in internet television, it's very rare that you see a very hyper meaningful twist. It can happen. You know, there are times where it happens. There's shows where it's done an amazing job of, like, leading me down one path and then completely switching it on the end. I thought that was cool. You know, like we mentioned Breaking Bad, like, you know, you didn't quite know how that was going to end, but you knew it had to end the way it did. Mm-hmm. And man, was that an ending, you know?
Yeah, and actually, because I'm not trying to plug my stuff here, but the show that I do enjoy and want to watch each week is Better Call Saul, which I do a podcast with Rick Foster on called Lawyer Up. But I absolutely enjoy doing that. I absolutely enjoy it because I don't know if I would enjoy watching it week by week as much, because I'm more of a binge person.
Right.
If it weren't for the fact that there's a really great podcast — don't listen to my podcast, go listen to Kelly Dixon, who edits the show, her show, The Better Call Saul Insider. I actually would rather do a fan cast on her podcast of the show than the actual show, because to me it's far more enjoyable to hear about why things were done the way they were, you know. And
those are sometimes my favorite. I mean, that's any behind the scenes content is fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if done right, it can be a complete and utter joy. Especially when it's behind the scenes stuff, because those are the kind of stories I know that, like, you and I will watch a show of a House of Cards, watch an episode, and we'll see something like, why the hell did they go this direction with this, whatever? Are they building up to something? Are they not building up to something? Is anything happening? Like, I would rather know, like, I would rather hear, you know, a good 30-minute interview with, you know, whatever B team recorded the intro for House of Cards. Like, that's the one thing I think there might be something on that somewhere. But I've always, like, that's the one thing I think I enjoy them out of all the things I enjoy of House of Cards, and there's some things I enjoy and some things I really hate. I have always enjoyed the intro sequence, that time lapse kind of thing. I think it's one of the most iconic things of the show. And I'm like, I would want to know, like, the story behind that, of, like, who had the idea to do it this way, who had the idea to shoot it this way and score it a certain way and get it down, because, you know, their intros are like, okay, cool, that's an awesome one, but that one's, like, just so iconically House of Cards that if anyone were to spoof it as a joke, you know, that's, you know, no one ever mistakes it for that. Like, it's such a... It's the one thing, like, I look forward to, and, you know, out of all the things I look forward to the show, the joke that sounds is the intro.
You made me think of a question that I have for you.
Sure.
About it. Do you find, because sometimes I get excited about the show because of the fact that I know I'm going to talk about it with you, mostly because you always come up with things that I would, you know, I'm not even thinking of. But do you think that you might enjoy the show a little bit more because of the fact that, you know, oh, well, tomorrow I've got to talk about
it? Sure. I mean, I definitely enjoy the idea of watching something and discussing it. I'm usually more of a, and this is sort of a weird thing of me. I usually actually, and this is sort of, you know, I'm going to pull, you know, because it's my show, I can do what the fuck I want. I'm going to peel back the curtain a bit. I typically will watch the show about an hour before we start recording. Like, I usually wake up about 9 in the morning, do some stuff, and then
you get a tweet from Jackie says, oh God, can we please cancel?
No, that only happens when I
literally
got
just
like five.
Watch the show, dude.
No, it's not even that. Like, I will, if I'm canceling, it is because something.
No, when I cancel. You.
Oh yeah, when you cancel, that's different. Like, whenever I cancel, it's usually a something horrible happened the night before, or something horrible happened today that I have to take
care of. No, it's always me. Yeah. Well, I try to always present.
But anyways,
like, well, what are
it's
you
okay.
Doing?
Don't worry. All right, okay, so all come right. back here. So I will usually watch the episode right in the morning. Right before we record, one, to have it fresh in my mind in general, but two, because I learned through cinematography some of the best things that ever happened were when I had it fresh in my mind and started watching it and started being able to discuss it. And by the way, people who are – oh, sorry. I looked at the other chat room making sure stuff was happening. Sorry about that. Anyways, but – so I will watch it like right at the get-go, and – once I have done that, I'll then have kind of my thoughts formulated. And usually I'll know already what I care about in an episode and already as I'm going into it. Because a lot of times there are interesting scenes. Because I think what I look forward to is talking about certain scenes and talking about certain things.
Right.
And that can vary from episode to episode. Like, at one point, I loved the hell the fact they had Monument Valley in there and got to talk about that game for about an hour and a half. Or the fact that that was there.
Your Paradise
Lost
analysis.
That's a cool plug. Mm-hmm. It's a great game, too. I think it was free on iOS for a couple of months, but well worth the purchase even then. So, you know, I'll talk about that, or it'll be like last week, we had the scene with what's-his-face, the editor, I'm blanking his name already, tells you how much I really remember the show.
Lucas, yeah.
Right. Oh, you know, we're talking about Lucas and how I loved these sequences. I'm like, this is a far more compelling story because, again, I like certain sequences, certain stories, certain stuff. And so I think I look forward to those moments. Like, it's ultimately I look forward to when those things come up. Like, I almost – like, if I were to do another fan cast, I think I would do season 2 when it happens of Mr. Robot.
Oh yeah! Wow.
But that's because I really dug the hell out of Mr. Robot. But I think,
you'd have a hard time finding someone to do that show with you because I everybody loves it.
Well, I mean, I like it, but I think like I almost want to if I do it, I almost want to make sure that I have somebody. I mean, because the problem is, like, I know why I like the show. And a lot of times it's actually probably not the reason a lot of people don't like a lot of people love the show. But for those who have not seen Mr. Robot, this might be a minor spoiler. But a lot of people who, when they ever pitch the show to people, they say this anyways. But just as a heads up, if you've not seen season one of Mr. Robot, this may be a minor spoiler. This may skew you in a different direction. This may not. Just keep that in your mind as I say the next following thing. People always say when they watch Mr. Robot that it's very similar to Fight Club. They say, like, do you like Fight Club? Oh, you're getting the fuck out of Mr. Robot because there's these this, whatever.
Interesting.
The thing I dug the fuck out of Mr. Robot it was not even that stuff. In fact, at times, the whole Fight Club thing kind of, you know, not rubbed me the wrong way, but led me down the direction that I was like, yeah, I know where this is going. What I found very interesting and what I loved about it was actually the hacking, was the cybersecurity side of things, and the fact that they were actually being really honest with it in a very cool way. Like the idea of, there's a sequence where they're talking about how they're going to destroy this large amount of data that's like backed up in three physical locations, because that's what you do whenever you do a proper Definitely. Backup. You have an on-site one, on-site, off-site, and a DR, or disaster recovery location.
Always mirror your data.
But three times. And in fact, if you ever use like Exchange servers, like big giant email servers from Microsoft, the way you're supposed to deploy them is in three different servers, in your primary, your secondary, your failover, and your DR, your disaster recovery. Basically, if all else fails, you still got this third one that can kick in. And so that's, they're talking about how they're going to destroy the data, and the idea of, like, we're going to attach this thing to the heater system and that, because they use, because they do social engineering and they research stuff, they back things up on tape, whatever. They go, like, yeah, we know what a Raspberry Pi is. And it was just a very off the cuff thing that has nothing to do, it's inconsequential story in terms of whatever, but it's such a cool note of knowing this culture and how real hacking and real kind of social engineering is done. That it's one thing I love about the show, is it felt very real to me by doing that. It's something that I almost wish, like, I think it's the one thing that a lot of people don't really talk about in the show. Maybe they do, but I don't tend to talk to people about it, because everyone else is like, oh man, this is like Fight Club and this. I'm like, yeah, that's kind of cool, but I've seen Fight Club. I don't get to see a lot of times where they do, like, legitimate, fucking going through a Linux prompt, talking about a Linux server and talking about an interesting exploit or running, background code and keyloggers. And again, Raspberry Pi is hacking into HVAC systems. And it sounds strange, but they've done it in a way that didn't feel like it was forced and didn't feel like it was Hollywood gussied up. And I think that's why I dug the fuck out about it. Was just like, it felt real. And it was such a cool, it was one of my favorite parts of the show, was just how real a lot of the security network side felt, and did it in a very respectful, very meaningful way, even to the character. Because again, the character of oh my god, I'm blanking on it. I guess Mr. Well, even that's a spoiler.
What was his name? It's been so long. Was
it
last fall?
Yeah, I haven't thought about it in a while. Because it is. I'll tell you who it was real quick. It is going to be. Only because I honestly
not the not. Christian Slater dude.
No, not Mr.
The main character.
Yeah, Elliot.
Elliot, that was his name.
Not Mr. Robot, but Elliot. And I dug that Elliot had, had a lot of those things where he felt like a real network security guy that kind of just sort of
definitely
faded in the shadows, but didn't feel he never felt. He never felt like, ooh, he's a dark, mysterious hacker. It's like, no, he's a hacker. He works for a network security job. He plays both sides because, fuck it, that's what we do. So that's what, people do sometimes. And again, he never felt out of place in any of the cult, any of the hacking that he did and any of the weird things. And sure, he had some interesting rituals for that, the idea of burning the CD. Like, I think, like, one of my favorite was him burning the CD and naming them different albums based on who the data was.
I forgot about that. Yeah,
I think that was appropriate. I think that was a really kind of cool touch of doing those things, because it always, the song he picked and the album he picked the band always connected in a good way with the person he the data was of, as a kind of weird digital graveyard. Like, I thought that was an interesting touch, because again, that's somewhat of a liability to have that data on you in a physical form, because if someone were to find that, you know, granted it's all obscured with you know, labels of like music, and they may not think of anything like that, but if they analyze the data, it's going to be, you know, something bad. But yeah, I dug the heck out of that side of things. The social engineering, even there's a scene where this guy's like, yo, listen to my mix CD. And he, you know, hoping that the guy puts it in his work computer because it's a program that's going to load with, auto run exec. Right, yeah. And I was just like, fucking slick. Like,
yeah, I think even to the, like, the layman, person who's not aware of what you actually saw in the show, including myself, I know a lot about essential records protecting those, that type of thing, but that's a different avenue or world. But anyways, I feel like enough people who just have the layman's type of understanding of technology saw it as very real, and yeah, that's why they also enjoy it.
And that was like I said, one of my favorite parts of the show. Again, great characters, great compelling acting. There's nothing wrong with that show. It's an amazing season. But like I said, like the thing that like really caught my eye was because just maybe months prior, we had CSI Cyber, which is like the complete inverse of what Mr. Robot was in terms of cybersecurity and things like that. And, you know, to a point of hilarity. Mm. And yet you take Mr. Robot, which isn't trying to gussy anything up because, they're getting hacked. We got to get to the data center. And yeah, the data center probably is in Dallas because that's one of the bigger pipe areas. And it might, your company may be based somewhere else, but your data center, there are, I think, like Rackspace is up in Dallas. I think even AWS is somewhere here in Austin as well. I know that there's a Rackspace down in San Antonio. And I think even they have like places in New York and whatever, so it's not uncommon to have your server that is hosting some critical stuff completely not in a room that you're in. So it was really cool. It was, again,
as it shouldn't,
but again, it's not uncommon.
It shouldn't even be regional.
Have regional. You have regional servers because
You don't want things regional for types of regional wide disasters.
But what's interesting, again, the idea that, get on a jet, let's get the fuck down there and help. And again, this is a multi, crazy corporation kind of thing. But yeah, it was one of my favorite shows. I would do a fan, if anyone ever wants to do a fan cast of that, I'd do that for sure in a heartbeat. I just don't know how I'd approach it per se because I like it, but I don't know how I'd want to discuss it because the problem is I know what I latch onto.
I
don't know if that's enough for, I only know a handful of people latch onto, so I might have to find, if I were to find someone, it'd have to be someone that really latches on more. Not saying I don't like the story, but a lot a lot of the base concepts in Mr. Robot, I got to the point where like I know what Brian liked about the show. Brian Brushwood, he's the one that kind of mentioned it to me and kind of got me to watch it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's the one that, I wanted to watch it, but he's the one that really convinced me to. Like, I know what Brian loved about it. I don't think Brian and I love the same thing about the show.
Well, that makes sense.
And that's just more of a, like, I have a, I have that feeling of, like, I know what Brian dug the heck out of it. And after a while, that got a little bit on my nerves, and not even like in a bad way. It's just say, like, I know where this is going, and we can just, we can already reveal this, this threat already, but...
Oh, well, when is this? Do you know when season two comes out?
I have no idea. I don't think anyone does. I'm curious. Like I said, that I'm curious how they'll take the story because, all the information is now out on the table, and I realize I'm being very cagey. I'm being very cagey because if you haven't seen this season, you don't even know anything of the movie Fight Club or anything like that, then, none of this is spoilerific. None of this is... I'm trying to be as spoiler free as I can, although really you can't talk about anything meaningful without spoiling it. It's just sort of how it happens. But that being said, I have no idea what they're going to do. I am glad to see certain actors come back. I can say the actor's name because you don't find out it's him until the very end, whose character he's playing. But I'm glad BD Wong is back in something. I always dug him from Law and Order SVU, so I'm actually glad to see him in another role. Of the two characters at the last scene of the last episode, he is the non-white guy. I'll spoil it later. I'll spoil it in the after show and that because you know that. But yeah, that is me on FanCast. I don't know.
That's fine. You know, you've combined them all the show possible shows right now into this one episode. So there you go.
Yeah, because we're pretty much out of time now. We're actually at the
I thought we were just finally getting started. Damn it.
We're at the hour mark. That's what the show does with that. But we might as well take this last bits of time.
I always come on with an agenda and it never happens.
It's okay. If you come with an agenda and a purpose and a meaning, unless you tell me ahead of time, like, Robert, I have something to promote, then we steer the boat.
But that's originally what I had hoped. But definitely next time, I'm very very close to doing something that.
Well, yeah, because you've been working like last we had checked, you were working on something and you hadn't gotten it done and
no,
all I've seen and I don't even know if we showed them the show, but you showed me a Carboni puppet and I have no idea.
I'm pretty much done with sock puppets, but there are a few things on that I wanted
I'm
to do
done with sock puppets. I moved on to claymation now.
I always wanted to do at least one for the We Have Concerns podcast, because when I listen to them, I see sock puppets more than I did when I first saw Night Attack puppets. But so I've been wanting to, it's kind of like, I've got to do this. I got to do it now so I can be done. And I'm moving into this claymation.
I forgot it was claymation. I was joking because it's just like, I'm done with sock puppets. Time for stop motion animation.
Yes.
I'm redoing Jason the Argonauts.
I mean, but you know, and like, now I realize I need to just zip it. And not talk about it until I really have something good and concrete to show, because it could really come out looking like complete shit.
It's okay. It's fine. You'll be fine. Do not fret.
We can curse on this show, right?
No, of course you can. Fuck yeah, are you kidding me? This is curse free.
Oh, anyways, you're trying to end it. You're trying to.
Well, no, it's because like I figured, like with our last moments, I should probably mention something, because by the time this episode goes live, it'll be the week before. Everything is officially going to kick off. And if you're watching live, you still got 2 weeks before everything kicks off. But this year, normally I don't shoot for this award, because if you look at the field of the medium, you kind of know who's going to win what and how they're going to win it and who's going to do what, just based on the nature of things. And what I'm talking about, of course, is the podcast award. Typically, you never hear me talk about these things. Not because I think they're a bad award show. I think they're a solid award show. I think it has its merits and whatever. But a lot of times unless your podcast is of a certain era and a certain kind of air to it or something along those lines, it's really hard to break into the nominations. This year, however, they've done something different that I actually think is a good thing. Mm-hmm. I know some shows think it's a bad thing, and I'll explain why I think it's a good thing in a very few minutes. Essentially, they have set a rule that if you'd won last year, you can't run this year. And if you've won like 10 times in a row, you're like, welcome to the club. You've already won. Congratulations. You don't need to win.
Get out of here, this American life.
Well, it's more of a like you've won 7 Emmys. Congratulations. Yeah. You really don't need any more kind of thing.
Step aside, cereal.
You know, and that's cool. I like it because it's...
All the way, listen to both of them. Oh,
right. No. And again, it's the idea saying that no one's ever going... You know, the idea being that... And this is why I think it's a good thing, because I know some people are like... why stop the momentum? Why stop the fire when you're on fire for this show? And I think it's a good thing... Because I always felt the podcast awards at its heart was trying to promote the medium that is podcasting.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when you start seeing the same faces, the same people, the same stuff over and over and over again, it gives the air that this medium is still very much a you could do whatever you want. But you ain't going to get awarded, you know, by the people unless, right. you know, you're ran by this. Because then again, you know, you have other award shows that are out there, like the Webbies or even, you know, other kind of things that are curated to a certain degree where there's this, like, you know, listener's voice award, but like the rest is still curated by a group of peers, whatever. And the podcast awards is still very much a listener and you know, a very much a user supported award show where most of them are not anymore. And that, you know, that's its advantage and sometimes a detriment depending on how you view it. But this year they've had that rule change, and I wasn't even aware until actually our producer Ash had mentioned it to me that there was this change. Because again, I always that award is always just like, yeah, one, you know, if ever things go crazy fun, I will, you know, I can do it. And with this rule change, I was like, you know, this is a year we can actually try something. We could actually give it a shot, because if there's at least get it on the docket, so to speak.
Absolutely.
I say that jokingly, but this is actually the year that I have. If I'm going to try it, it might as well be this year, because this is like, again, because after this, you know, all the people who are on the bench, so to speak, will come up to bat and you know, and knock it out of the park. And you know, all of them are mutual friends of mine, which I'm always happy to see them win. But you know, I have friends who have podcast awards. I've seen that piece of Lucite, and it's pretty. I my friend Corey Coleman, when he was working at Spill, I think he had won either one or two, and I've seen the podcast award, and just like, that looks pretty. I'll never have that. I jokingly saying that to myself, and then this year happened, like, well, maybe. So what that leads up to, of course, is the actual fact. I need your help there, the audience, because ultimately, like I said, it is user supported. It is user voted. So actually from April 15th through the 30th, you can actually nominate My So-Called Yabit Life in the entertainment section is what we're thinking of. Cause I think that's the only section that we make sense in, which is always the fun thing about this podcast. You know, the
what is it?
Well, the detriment and the advantage of this podcast is that there is never a, like, you know, where do you put the conversational interview podcast? You know, it's like, well, I guess entertainment it is. You know, that's why we're in comedy on iTunes. There's never – it's always hard to categorize those kinds of shows, because they all kind of that. But because the playing field very level this year and very fair – I mean, it's always fair, but this year it's even more so – that I think we have a shot of getting on the nomination, at least more so than normal.
And you know, you and I, we kind of share a lot of common friends, and I really hope that they do this and see. I see it as extremely important to get your show on, because you're so well established. You've been doing this for so long. That's the reason why I asked you to kind of, you know, coach me through House of Cards.
Right.
All of those things. It only helps this sort of community so much more if we can all get behind Cosmic Radio TV. I really, really hope people
for sure
see what is possible for this. You know. Anyways,
no, and that's sort of been the case. That's why I've never really shot for it. Not because of not wanting it. I mean, of course, yes, I'd love an award, but a lot of times the other, and again, not in a bad way. Not like I'm like, oh, they're like, no, they all deserve everything that usually wins usually deserves a praise. I don't really see any. Any negative to any of the winners at any capacity, you know. But a lot of times it's, you know, it's people that have a way larger audience than I do. And that's not a bad thing. It's just nature of the game. But this year, again, with a lot of those people out of commission, you know, or have been sort of elevated to a point where they're now part of the, like, steering committee or whatever, it kind of lets a smaller established podcast like myself come in and at least give it a shot, more so than normal. And that's sort of where my brain got really thinking about it. Again, it was at, you know, I really thank Ash for bringing it up, because I had forgot about it, and she brought it up to me in our Slack chat. And I was like, oh, okay, let me look at that and start looking at the rule change. I was like, oh, shit, actually there's a chance this time. And it was kind of amazing for me to read that and actually have the idea of saying, well, maybe I could do this. Yeah, I could do this. And sort of looking into it, figuring out all the stuff, getting all the things together, and just realizing that, like, wow, actually, you know, I think T2 and a lot of people in chat room made like a spreadsheet of all the different shows that are like part of things. And just seeing the number, because again, I forget the number of episodes, because I do this every week, and kind of my brain sort of forgets the fact that I've been doing this for as long as I have. When I saw like the final episode count, I'm like, man, that's a big counter. And I look at a lot of the shows that get there. I'm like, I really should try for this now, shouldn't I? If there's ever a chance, this is the chance to take.
Absolutely. I play around with shows, and again, I only do it as an escape and, you know, for other things. But I feel like this is definitely your year. And for a lot of people on that list.
If there is a year, this is the year I'm going to ship a show.
I'm a year or two behind, I feel like. And so by the time anything that I do as far as podcasting gets to that point, it's going to be time for the old guard to come back again. You know?
That's sort of why, like I said, this is the, you know, if I'm not up to bat quite yet. It's the nominations portion. So yeah, from the 15th through 30th, you can nominate us. I'm not quite up to bat, but you know, if I get up to the plate, so to speak, to take this baseball metaphor, you know, all the way to that, we can see what happens. But I have to get that bat first, and you know, the coach hasn't called me in, so to speak. But if you want to encourage the coach and chant the name, you know, in the stadium, so to speak, and
yes.
I realize I'm taking this whole fucking baseball metaphor to its nth degree, but fuck it, it's what I do. You know, have that chant go, and the coach is like, Vegas, get in there, and you know, and then I you know, if I strike out, I strike out. Fuck it, you know, Casey did it, so. Well, you know, but if I win, I win. But I still have to get there. So anyways, to get back to information. So from the April 15th through the 30th, if you're catching this live, it's in 2 weeks. If you're catching this recorded on Monday or Sunday, it will be that Friday. But from April 15th through the 30th, head over to podcastawards.com. And there should be a form on the site when that happens that'll say, like, you know, nominate the podcast you want. And we'll probably post another video. We actually have a video on the channel right now, youtube.com/CosmoTV, explaining kind of what it is. But we'll have another video as we kind of get closer, sort of explaining all the relevant data points, things that, you know, just so you can kind of have them handy and to remind you to vote and everything else. And we'll be pushing for that. And, you know, thankfully, every other like thing that they care about, like weighted stuff, we've had like since day one, things like a proper feed, you know, responsive website, and a couple other stuff that they care about. We've had that since day zero, just because it's just, you know, was what you do to make it a compelling site and things like that. So it's cool to see like all the stuff they look at is stuff I'm already doing. And that's always encouraging just to see like, okay, well, the only thing I've got to do is just get enough people to, you know, back my play, so to speak. So yeah, for April 15th to 30th,
exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting. It should be, you know, we'll see what happens. I'm giving it a shot, and that's all I can do, and give it my best. And, you know, to quote a line from one of my favorite something I heard from one of my favorite developers at South By, you know, it's a coin flip. It's always a coin flip. Everything is a coin flip. We'll see how it comes out.
I can't quite recall, like, because I try to call myself like the Geek Diamond Club cheerleader because I try to, like, you know, support things like this. And I can't remember which awards show it was that you could vote every day. Do you happen to know
that? Is the Podcast Awards.
Okay, yeah, so you could vote every day from the same email account, I believe.
Correct.
Yeah. So get out there and come on.
Yeah, you know, they've changed the rules for nominations, but for the – again, it's such a weird thing because they've had to change a lot of rules because of what happened last year, and some of that may have been due to us, but that's neither here nor there. But things happen. Again, it's
a large community. So
yeah, no, it is, and it's a very, you know, very vocal community and everything
else. And
very
talented. But, creative,
yeah,
people.
There's a lot of, again, there's a lot of things that I'll talk about that in the after show because I heard some stuff, but all that I've heard is secondhand, so none of it I can't ever factor in that. But regardless of that fact, we are making a bid, at least, you know, for the nomination. So like I said, April 15th through the 30th, if I haven't said it again, I'll say it one more time, head on over to podcastawards.com and nominate 8-Bit Life. But that's it for today. That's it for this episode. Jackie Hearn, where can people find you online?
At Jackie Hearn 81. And if you like puppet stuff, keep an eye out on my Twitter. Follow me for, I would say, just follow me for like 2 weeks. And then you can remove me and I won't come after you.
And of course, you can find me. I'm at Vincent404 there on the Twitters. If you are new to this podcast and want to catch previous episodes, head over to our website, cosmicray.tv/8bitlife. There you'll find links to the show notes, as mentioned previous episodes, our Twitter account, which is at 8bitlife podcast, and of course, everything else that revolves around this little network of mine and things like that. And after you have, of course, supported whatever you support, maybe you've bought all the episodes of Walking Dead and Mr. Robot, and you're like, I'm done doing that. I still got $3 left over. You can head over to patreon.com/8bitlife and help this podcast grow bigger, better, and more awesomer. So that's it for today. Until next time, we talk to the geek about something completely and utterly random. Bye, people.
Bye.
This has been a CosmicRadio.tv audio production. For more awesome shows, head on over to our website, CosmicRadio.tv.